Is anybody thankful? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord right now. Just worship Him with all your heart, with all your mind right now. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the name of Jesus. Ah, Lord, we love You. God, we praise You. Lord, You know, we don't know why except that You loved us. Lord, more than we can love You, and before You loved, we loved You, You loved us. God, You loved us when we were unlovable. Oh, Lord, we praise You, and we're grateful for that. We're thankful for that, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. Glory to the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can return to your seats. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can go to your seats. Praise God. Thank you, worship team. How many thankful for the worship team? Hallelujah. Praise God. About the time I thought maybe I'd move it around and get a chair up here, they said, no, there's not room for you, so that's okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. We would have to read the scripture this morning. Mark chapter 16, we'll read it from Mark's account. Won't you stand for the reading of the word? We don't always do that. I know you've been standing, but one more time will help the blood even pump a little more. Praise God. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 1. Praise God. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. You ever wonder why they anointed that body? I'll tell you in a few minutes. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre of the rising, at the rising of the sun. They said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. He saith unto them, be not, I'll just say it in our language, afraid. Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. But go your way, tell His disciples. Notice what He says here, His disciples and Peter. Wasn't Peter a disciple? At this point in his life, Peter did not think that he was any longer a disciple. He had failed Him miserably, and Peter needed that extra. Go tell my disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him as He said unto you. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Good to see everyone here this morning. Amen. Visitors from Hershey, Hummelstown area. Amen. Visitor from Minnesota by way of South Carolina, I think. Something like that. have Tori's brother with us, Carter. Amen. Praise God. And good to have all of our visitors. Really good to have Rosa here. Amen. This is Kenny's mother, by the way. Amen. We are happy that Leah and Jan is here as well. Jan hails from New York City, right? The Big Apple, or the Big Peach, or whatever that thing is up there. Amen. Good to have everyone here. Amen. Praise God. We come this morning to celebrate the resurrection. But how does one celebrate the resurrection? Well, how does one celebrate freedom in America? I know, the 4th of July, here we do it really well in State College, one of the top five displays in all of the United States. The top all-volunteer display in all of the United States happens in State College, Pennsylvania. A holiday, but not really. One celebrates the freedom of America by living free and accepting the responsibilities that freedom brings with it. One celebrates freedom by living. I tell my sons when they were growing up, they would have these questions about what they're going to do and the quandary of how to go forward. And I would tell them, we live in America. We live in America. I know a franchisee of Dippin' Dots that lives in Washington, D.C., and I'd tell him the story. He came here with $50-some in his pocket. And no credit, no nothing. $50. Lived in a house with family members. There are probably 20 of them living in a house. When I walked in his house in Gaithersburg, Maryland, you walked in or you drove into the community and had this big sign because they were selling these new homes. Homes beginning at $400,000. And his wasn't $400,000. I saw the $400,000 ones. His was much bigger than that. And I went in it, and his banker kind of led me into the housing development. This is America. We live and celebrate freedom by understanding you can come here with nothing, and if you want something, and if you want it bad enough, you can get it. Amen. That's why the immigrants come here with nothing and they still are hungry and they know if I can just get to America. And you celebrate freedom in America by living like that. God forbid that the Americans that are here live in such a way that we don't celebrate that kind of freedom anymore, but we get lazy, we get complacent, we get up to the point we expect somebody to hand it to us. Amen. But you celebrate the resurrection by living above the things that bring death. That's how you celebrate the resurrection. Mary Magdalene and Mary and Salome, they bring spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Anybody want to guess why they anointed the body of Jesus a couple days afterwards? They did not embalm. The Jewish people did not embalm bodies. And so to cut down on the odor, they loaded up to 75 pounds of sweet-smelling spices all over that body to help destroy the odor. But they lugged that load up there only to find that there is an empty tomb. There is no body. It's not exactly empty. There's a young man sitting there in a white robe. There's an angel sitting there. He's perpetually young. How many want to be that? How many would like to get back to the place if you're, Brother Jim, you and I can relate to this. How many would like to have a new body someday? Hallelujah. You'll get there, and if you're too proud to admit it, then just hang on to your old one. Hey, amen, I'm going to have a new one. I'll dance circles around you. Hallelujah. Amen. You keep your old one. I'm going to get a new one, and I'll run around heaven all over the place. I'll zoom around heaven. Amen. And so he's there, and he said, what are you looking for here? You come looking for the dead, looking for the living in the place of the dead. He's not here. He has risen. He's not here. Look where he was. Friend, you need to be able to look where you were and see that you're not there. Amen. We need this gospel, this resurrection thing didn't put us to the place where we look around and we're still where we always were. And I'm just here. I'm in sin enjoying. You're not enjoying the blessings of God. You're enjoying the mercy of God. Because the only thing keeping him from killing you is the fact that he's merciful. Is that too hard? Sin is a destructive thing. And God hates sin. He hates it. And he would like to destroy it. But his mercy comes inside of him and works inside of him and keeps him from destroying the sinner. He will still destroy the sin. And the resurrection is a proof of that. And it's what God wants to do in our life. We should be able to look around and see where we were. Not where we are, where we were. We were that, but we're no longer because of the resurrection. And even the clothes, the dress, the grave clothes, he didn't retain those either. Took them off, unwound them, folded them up, folded the napkin that was on his head, placed it in a nice little pile and said, there, somebody else can use you. I'll never be back. Would to God that would penetrate us this morning. Somebody else can wear the clothes of sin. I'll never be back. I'm not going back. I'm going to take my family out of this mess. I'm going to take my world, my life, and everything I have out of the world of sin. Amen. Praise God. Jesus died on the cross. Look at somebody and say he was dead. You didn't look at him. Were you looking at me? Look at somebody sitting beside you. Say, he was dead. He wasn't. Look at him again. Say, he wasn't faking it. He was dead. He was as dead as anybody that you've ever heard of being dead. And he was put in a tomb. He was dead enough to be buried. Now look at somebody and say, he needed a resurrection. He needed a resurrection. Say it again louder. He needed a resurrection. Hallelujah. Come on, get personal. Look at somebody and say, he needed a resurrection. And if they're not looking at you, poke them in the ribs or something. He needed a resurrection. He was dead. And if you and I are going to come out of sin, he needed a resurrection. I probably won't read all the scripture, but I'll just tell you what it says in 1 Corinthians. If there is no resurrection, your faith is in vain and you're still in your sins. He's talking to a Gentile church. You have no hope outside of the resurrection. You have no hope at all. You're dead in your sins and you're still there and will remain there forever without a resurrection. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now look at somebody and say, you're going to need a resurrection. No, I mean look at them like they're the rotten sinner that you, I'm just kidding. Look at them like they got one foot on a banana peel and the other one hanging over a grave. And say, you're going to need a resurrection. You are going to need a resurrection. You need a resurrection. Abraham and Sarah have the promise from God. Flip these scriptures up, Genesis 17 and 16. And God comes to Abraham. He says, I'm going to bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her. Who's her? It's his wife of 90 years old that has a dead womb. It's past being able to bear a child. And God tells Abraham, I'm going to bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be out of her. And Abraham did just what we would do. He fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And the Lord's response was, is anything too hard for me? I can handle that. Say they needed a resurrection. Come on, they needed a resurrection, and they got a resurrection because Sarah's womb was resurrected, and they had Isaac, and both Sarah and Abraham had laughed about this promise. So God told them, you're going to name him Laughter. No, Isaac. That's what it means. Isaac means laughter. Every time they said Isaac, they knew what he was pointing back to. We laughed at God. We laughed at God's promise. We shrugged it off. It was humorous to us. It was so far out. We just laughed at it. Come on, Isaac, let's go. Come on, laughter. And they had laughter inside and with them all the time. Amen. They needed a resurrection. Jacob and Joseph, Joseph's brothers brought his coat of many colors back to their father. Jacob assumed he was dead and said, "Oh, I'm going to go down to the grave," and mourned until they thought he was going to die. They needed a resurrection. Joseph winds up in the prison of the world, which is Egypt. If you're in the prison of sin, which is a sinful world, you can be in the United States of America being as free. Amen. The Constitution is for you. But if you are in sin, you are in the prison of this world. Joseph is in the prison of this world and rises to the top in the prison. Do you know what? He's still a prisoner because he tells the butler and the baker that come there, he interprets a dream as the head of the prison. He's still a prisoner, though, and he tells that butler that's going to be reinstated, when you get back to that office of yours, will you remember me? Because I don't deserve to be here in this place. I didn't do anything wrong. And butler walks back in, starts handing Pharaoh his food and his wine and cup, and he forgets all about Joseph. And Joseph needs a resurrection because Joseph is still in prison. I don't care how good it is. I don't care how much you're being blessed. I don't care if you can come into a service and begin to talk in tongues, because that God is so good to you and you're so sensitive to him. If sin is reigning in your life, you need a resurrection because you're still in the prison. Amen. Somebody ought to get thankful for the resurrection today. Praise God. I would that somebody, before I'm done, would jump up and begin to worship God with all your heart because of the resurrection. 22 years later, those same brothers come back from Egypt. They walk up to their dad, Jacob, who has been named Israel. Dad, you ain't gonna believe this. You know, Jacob's old, so he's probably like, try me. Joseph is alive. They didn't come back the first time with that because they didn't know who he was. But that second time they come back, they said, Joseph lives. Jacob said, No, he don't live. And they kept telling him, he's alive, Dad. We saw him. He's the head of Egypt. He saw him. We saw him. And finally, Jacob believes it. Smile. And the ivories come out. I'm going to get to go see my son. Load it up, boys. Let's go. Because there's been a resurrection of his son. That which was lost has been found, and he's alive. And I'm going back to see my son that I thought was dead. Amen. There was a resurrection. If your dream has died, if you have convinced yourself that it's over, if you struggle with ever becoming anything with God, I've come to tell you this morning, there is a resurrection. There is a resurrection. There is a power of resurrection that is not a Bible story for a Sunday school class. There's a Bible story for my soul. There is a resurrection. Woo! Hallelujah. The Shunammite woman, she receives her dream, builds a house or a room on the side of her house for the prophet. And then Elisha says, what is it that she would like? And she, I don't know. Gehazi's servant says she's childless. Elisha says, this time next year, you'll have a son. And she kind of laughed too. They should have named him Isaac. I don't know what they named him. But that time next year, she had a son. She had a son. He grows up to a young man. We don't know how old he is. He looks like he's old enough to go to the field with his dad. And he cries out in the field, "My head, my head." And the dad says, "Take him to his mother." To a servant, they take him to his mother. His mother listens to her son for a moment. She doesn't even wait. She just takes off. "Saddle the donkey. I've got to go get the man of God." And she goes and gets the man of God. He tries to send the servant, Gehazi. She said, "Uh-uh. No, Gehazi, the servant didn't speak to me. You spoke to me, Bubba. So you're coming to my son." And so Gehazi goes in here, goes on, lays the rod beside him. Elisha gets there. So how is he? He's still dead. He has died. He's dead. And Elisha lays upon that boy, limb to limb, body to body, face to face. And he's praying. And suddenly that boy's body begins to warm up. And suddenly it moves. And he has had a resurrection. And mama has had a resurrection. And mama, everybody say, mama is happy. And you know the saying, ain't nobody happy if mama ain't happy. But mama is happy. And so that they understand about the resurrection. It's funny. These two sitting here on the other side of Rosa, they didn't look at her. They just cut their eyes at her. Like, they understood that. I'm sure there's other people who did the same thing, but I caught them. I wish I knew the name of that thing. They tell me all the time that you're good at that. Kenny's told us, the shoe thing. What is it? Chonka? The sandal can go around the corner, down the hallway, turn in the bedroom, and slap you upside the head. Mindry knows. Mindry has told me that her mom could throw that sandal around the corner. Jacob, I don't know if your mom ever, she's ever... But mama's happy because there's been a resurrection. She's got her child back because there's been a resurrection. Amen. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 1, he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, "Stand forth." And he saith unto him, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they held their peace. And then we looked around on them with anger. Jesus? Yeah. My family reads me better than anybody. Some of them, sometimes they can read me when nobody else can. Jeremy asked me before church, "You okay?" "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good." But I did have a righteous anger going on. I felt like it was really righteous. Kept my mouth shut and was wanting to take it out on who it needs to be took out on. We war not against flesh and blood. Amen. Sat down beside my wife and said, "I'm mad." Or I said, "I need prayer." She said, "What's the matter? You mad?" I said, "Yeah." "Yeah, I'm mad." I said, "But we war not against flesh and blood." I said, "I'm dealing with spirits." I said, "The only problem is sometimes they're in flesh and blood." Amen. Sometimes they're wrapped up and you gotta wade through all that stuff. Jesus is angry. Looked on him with anger. Like, "You unbelieving bunch of..." You can be withered hand. Withered hand. Come on. Wither it. Come on. Make it look crippled. Come on. Make it look crippled. Anybody any better than that? Well, that's a claw, man. Yeah, something like that. He says, Stretch it forth. And with anger, he looks at the rest of them. Bunch of unbelieving. And grabs that hand and boom. It's going to well. Boom, it's well. Now, it's not hard for us to get the understanding. I skipped Moses and the children of Israel. But it's not too tough for us to understand a dead womb needed a resurrection. Someone that they thought was dead, named Joseph, needed a resurrection in the mind. Someone that was dead, that Shunammite's son, needed a resurrection. But that needs a resurrection? Sure it does. It's a dead hand. It's a withered hand. And that's not the will of God. That's a result of sin. And what the resurrection came to do was eliminate the effects of sin. And so we see a withered hand. Well, we need to pray for him that God would heal him. That's true, but what you really need to understand is that hand needs a resurrection. It needs a resurrection. Because if you can get that in your mind, Sergio, I need you. Run, 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 run. Lay down up there and die. Just right there, or on the altar if you can lay there without falling off. No, you know, like a corpse, face up. Come here, withered hand. Hand, come on. Go over beside him. Stand up here. Look at this. Put your hand up. Yeah. Don't stick it in his eyes. Bad as you want to. Everybody go. He stinks. Man, Sergio stinks. He's been dead for 3 days. He's been dead for 3 days. Everybody say it. He's been dead for 3 days. He stinks. Hold your hand, that withered hand up high. Now you tell me which one needs more of God. Which one of those need more of God? I'd pick the dead body. I'd pick the guy that's already decomposing. Amen. If Brother Cornwell or Brother Stone King were here, he could give you the scientific data of what a doctor gave him of why his body could not live again after hour, was it 45 minutes dead. And they told him exactly why his body could not ever live again. The decomposing had already started in the cells and in the blood and all of that stuff, and it could not live again. There's no way. Listen, with a little surgery now, and some of the stuff that they've got, cut that dude open a few times, stretch it out, and then go to physical therapy, it could be pretty good. If not, we just whack it off right there and give him a prosthetic that works off of the mind, and it'd be pretty good. Take this one to the hospital after he's been dead 3 days. Wheel him into the emergency room and say, "Help!" I didn't mean scare you. Help! And they come running, "What's wrong with him? He's dead." "How long has he been dead?" "Oh, he is dead." "Oh, how long has he been dead?" "3 days." "What'd you bring him here for?" "I want him alive." Come on, which one you think? Which one you think is the bigger one? A dead thing. But after 3 days, get up. power of resurrection cause him to get up and walk out of a tomb and then be able to walk through walls, appear to people in that body. Amen. The power of resurrection. So if you get an understanding, put the hand out. If you get an understanding that if that needs a resurrection, and if you're calling on the resurrecting power of Jesus, amen, you're not just calling on it. You're not just calling on it. It's inside of you. Come on, it's inside of you. There's a scripture in Ephesians that's down there somewhere. I need it up there. I know I'm skipping a whole bunch, but I'm going to end right here in just a moment. You've got to understand. You see it? The eyes of your understanding. Paul is praying for this church, being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is. So you got to understand what you've got. You've got to understand what you've inherited. You've got to understand the riches of this thing, okay? Go to the next one. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, or toward us, who believe according to the mighty working, or the working of his mighty power? Hand, limb, yeah, there you go. Which he, what? Look. Up there, not me. Which he wrought in Christ. The power that is working in you is the power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So if I could speak to that hand and say, be whole in Jesus' name, boom, hold it up like this and go, yeah, come on. Can you get an understanding of what's inside of you? You don't have to beg God for it. You have to speak what you've got. You have to speak the power of the resurrection over that thing. Hallelujah. Come on, you need to speak the power of the resurrection to some of the issues in your life. I don't care who you are, be seated for a second. Listen, Fred Hyde was one of 11 children born in Oklahoma, came from a singing family. I can't believe they named them this, but the Happy Hydes. Can you imagine? Learning at an early age to play the guitar, he played, sang across at schools, amateur contests later in life, on radio, television, and nightclubs. It was during the latter that he reached the depths of alcoholism. And one night in New Orleans, a miracle happened in Fred's life. And suddenly, he was no longer an alcoholic. Oh, no. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Oh, no. Oh, no, once an addict, always an addict. Oh, no, that's the world's view. Amen. Once a workaholic, always a workaholic. Uh-uh. No, that's the world's view. And Fred Hyde was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. He was literally on Skid Row in New Orleans, sleeping in the gutter. I'm not talking about, you know, some low dive of a hotel. I'm talking about in the gutter alongside the road. And somebody invited him to church, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he started and became the head of Spirit of Freedom Ministries to help people just like him. Howard Pastorella was one of 7 children raised in a small East Texas refining community. He started drinking at the age of 13, continued the disastrous behavior through high school. After graduation, he enlisted in the Marine Corps. He was trained as an infantry machine gunner and saw combat action in the Republic of South Vietnam. He was wounded in action during engagements with the enemy during his tour. He introduced himself to the use of drugs and included that behavior with a continued use of alcohol. Returning to civilian life, he was easily employed but continued to be a functional user of both alcohol and other drugs. He soon ran out of incentives for finding relief from the anxieties and anger that were deeply embedded in his life. Finally, due to the compassion of a friend, he was introduced to the answer. Capital A. He was introduced to the resurrection is what he was introduced to. He inherited Fred Hyde's ministry. Fred Hyde has gone on to his reward. And this man is now the head of Spirit of Freedom Ministries. Because of the resurrection, I don't care what you've got inside of you. You need to rebuke the devil that's trying to bind you and tell you you can be nothing. Amen. You need to stand to your feet now. You need to get excited. And you need to tell the enemy, I can because he is. I can because he did. I can because he lives. I can because there is a resurrection. Amen. There is a resurrection. I can because there is a resurrection. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet and begin to worship the Lord. I can. I will. Come on, I can, I will. Hallelujah. There's a 34-year-old young lady in Southern Illinois, my wife's sister. My wife's sister sets and assists the elderly in her homes. Usually home health care, she's independent, kind of works on her own. They pay her, because they don't want to take their loved one to a facility, and they're not that far along. She got a call, responded to an ad this week and went, or a couple weeks ago, I don't know when it was. She walked in, not really knowing what to expect. 34-year-old mother of a 7-8-month-old baby. 3-4 days after she came home from the hospital, I think it was 5 days from the time she had the baby. She had a stroke, is that right? The 34-year-old had a stroke. She was 32 when she had him. She's 33 a month after she had him. Our daughter had a little boy in December. I cannot imagine this. The program that is helping her, she's just wealthy and needs, no, she's had a stroke. She cannot take care of herself. They won't pay for her. For Kathy's my sister's, or my wife's sister. They won't pay for Kathy to take care of the baby. But they'll pay for her to take care of her, the mother. Kathy's like, I'll take care of the baby. I'll help you with the baby. You know what that girl needs? She needs a resurrection. She needs a resurrection. You got family members that are dying. You're going to hear the word hell a lot more around here. And they are going to hell. They're going to burn in hell forever. Not because I said it, because the word of God said it. You've got family members that are cold, lukewarm in church. They do everything they want to do except really serve God, because they don't really want to. There's a lost world all around them, and they could be effective at reaching that lost world, but they won't, because it's not convenient to them and it's not convenient to their lifestyle. Most likely, they are not saved. They will not be saved when Jesus comes, because his focus is the lost. And hell awaits. You need, if you're in that state of mind that you could just, well, they'll be okay, you need a resurrection. There's some mamas and grandmamas and potential mamas here that need to begin to weep and wail because of the lostness of their family and their sisters and brothers and children. Amen. Weep and wail for the resurrection to come. Begin to speak the resurrection into their lives. Begin to speak the resurrection into your family. Hallelujah. I don't even want my family around some of that. I know I've got a family like that. If they live close, all you hear me talk about is my mother's family. You never hear me talk much about my father's family. 9 kids in my father's family were married at least 45 times. I've got cousins I never heard of. I've got cousins in prison. I've got cousins that have shot people. I've got cousins that have their children have died. One got left for dead alongside a road in Wyoming. His friends took him out on a sub-zero night when he was racked up on drugs. His friends took him out in the middle of nowhere. And friend, in Wyoming, the middle of nowhere is nowhere. There's not a million people in Wyoming, in the whole big state. So they took him out and kicked him out of the car, and he froze to death in a ditch. I've got friends, I've got family in that that side of my family that nobody knows some of the stories. And they're lost. And they need a resurrection. I don't want to put a negative. In fact, I'm not going to. I'm going to put a positive spin. If you've been struggling with anything in your life and making sense of any of life itself, no joy, and you've got family members that are lost and you need direction and the world has put a thought pattern in you and you're struggling with the basic truths of the Word of God, you need and you can have a resurrection. Praise God. Paul wrote it in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Verse 3, I'm sorry. Know ye not that as so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so. Everybody say, even so. We should walk in the newness of life. That is the resurrection. Don't tell me you have to be what you were. There needs to be a pile of grave clothes neatly folded so somebody else can find them if they need them. You don't need them. Plus, they need to be neatly folded so that people will look at it and say, well, it wasn't some kind of just... They stole his body and jerked that stuff off and ran out of here with it. No, it's all there in a neat little pile. And Jesus just left it there and said, I folded it before I left. I want you to put it away and put it on a shelf forever because it's never going to be used again. And I want people to be able to look at it and say, this was on a body already. Hallelujah, but the body walked out of that. Praise God. Anybody here that you didn't already receive a renewing of the Holy Ghost? There's some that already did, but there's many that haven't, and you need to. As they begin to sing, I want you to come. The resurrection is here this morning. Hallelujah. The resurrection is here this morning. The resurrecting power of the Holy Ghost is here this morning. Come on, there's a calling to preach here this morning. Who, me? Yeah, you. You that have such ability. You that have such capability. You that have such knowledge and such discipline. There is a call to reach the lost upon you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.